I'd like to spend a few moments this morning talking about the total lack of basic morality that exists in our society. You know, people say in jest, but unfortunately it's very true, that the real crime in society today is to get caught. If you don't get caught, cheating, lying, all types of other moral infractions, what's the big deal? You know, as long as you don't get caught, what's the difference? Something is really lacking in terms of a moral directive, how to conduct ourselves, and a moral authority, how can we be held responsible for our misconduct? And it affects the world in so many different ways. You know, we hear statistics bragging about there are less murders in New York this year than last year. That's great, but like, it's a lot of murders. Not to mention stealing, not to mention all kinds of crime, not to mention that the courts are backed up for months and years because of everything that goes on in society. And some people look, let's say, at Parshas Mishpotim, and they see so many rules and so many regulations and so many things that seem to be not relevant anymore in our society. You know, what happens with your ox that attacks my ox? I don't have an ox. And if I did, I wouldn't get one that attacks your ox. If I had an ox and you had an ox, I would go someplace else to live. Like, you know, fire. And all the laws about it. Fire and mazik. The arba ovis nezikin. Shor, boer. Come on, like, what's going on over here? And then so many more details, Hashavas Aveda, and all kinds of halachas that talk about such seemingly, and I'm certainly not endorsing this concept, seemingly irrelevant things. They're so remote, they're so far-fetched, they're so removed. Leave me alone, you know? You have to be good. You got to be honest. You got to do what's right. Simple. Don't make it so complicated. Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. Mamish, line up all the halochas, all cheshem mishpot, volumes and volumes telling us all of the things that we can do, we can't do, and how we can do it, where we can do it, so forth and so on. Seems a bit much. And the truth of the matter is, and many people feel that all of these laws are very unspiritual. We live in a world today where people talk about spirituality. They want to connect. They want to be uplifted. Some they do pretty stupid things to get high, but that's besides the point. But they want to be uplifted. They want to connect with the Creator. They want to have some meaning in their lives. But these rules and regulations, they seem, you know, just so dry. They tell a story of a young woman, Jewish young woman, who traveled to India to become part of the cult, I guess, of certain guru. And she's getting into it, very serious about it, and taking it seriously, and studying it, and talking to him, and asking questions, an intelligent young woman. And she's really, wow. This is spiritual, this is inspiring, this is exciting, this is... Then one day she wakes up and she says, before she makes her commitments, whatever, the vows she has to take, she wakes up and she says, you know, I was born Jewish, I don't know the first thing about it, I'm going to pick myself up, I'm going to Israel, and I'm going to go to a school over there, and I'll see, maybe I'll find out something about Judaism before I change my mind and join this cult, this new religion, maybe I'll do that. She goes to Israel, she finds her way to a seminary, and she comes into a class, and they're studying the intricate laws of Hashavas Aveda. You lose something, has a simen, doesn't have a simen, person's miyayish. Does he know about it? Doesn't he know about it? And what is he miyayish? Or what is he not miyayish? When? What? Who? All these things. She sat for 45 minutes. She says, this is very unspiritually inspiring. Nah, there's nothing spiritual here. This is dry. I'm not interested. She leaves. She goes back to India, back to her guru. And she says, Mr. Guru, I'm ready. She wants to now convert or join or whatever they have to do to become part of his group. They're walking along and they're sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the last details. And she spots a wallet, bulging wallet, looks like, and she picks it up and she sees $100 bills in there, a lot of fortune of money, credit cards, ID, with everything. She picks it up and she says, oh yes, I have to return this to the owner. It has all the information. And the guru says, let me see that. And he takes it and puts it under his robes in his pocket, and they continue walking. And she says, we have to return it. It doesn't belong to us. And he looks at her, you know, in the olden days, they used to say, we have to do something. So the line was, what do you mean we, Kimosabi? In other words, there's no we. It's me. I got it. It's mine. I took it. But you're not going to return it. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. And then he says to her, he gives her the insight into his religious spirituality. He says, if I give this back, these people are going to turn this money into just material pleasures, physical pleasures. What are they going to do with it? He says, I will transform it to spirituality. She picked herself up. She went back to Eretz Yisrael. She went back to that seminary. And the story goes that today she's, you know, a religious mother with 10 children. I don't know, whatever. So, but you see, this spirituality is not ersatz. It's not hot air. It's not just nothingness. It has to be real. There's human responsibilities. You see, when we study Bava Kama, or Bava Metzia, or Bava Basra, when we study Parshas Mishpatim, we're learning about the intricate extent of my responsibility. I have an animal. I'm responsible for the damage that animal does under certain conditions of not taking proper care of it and not watching it properly. And under other conditions, I am not responsible. Who is responsible? When we live neighbors side by side, we have to know who's responsible for doing what, who's permitted to do what, who's not permitted, what is my right, what is your right. And that's true spirituality, because that's right from wrong. That's human integrity. That's human decency. That's human menschlichkeit. That's the way a society can function, because I have my rights and you have your rights. And when our rights conflict, there has to be a moral, legal, ethical way that we can resolve those conflicts in a way that's fair to both of us. Being fair to everybody, that's what it's about. It's about right from wrong. And it's also about something else. You know, I laugh when I hear the legal authorities in this country debating the intention of the founding fathers. I don't know if you know anything about the founding fathers, and I don't want to malign them, but I should think about what the intention of the founding fathers were when they made this rule. My intentions are just as good and just as smart and just as relevant and more relevant to me than anything that George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin or James M. Madison or Adams or any of these guys. I only want to live by the rules of the Creator. The Creator who created the world for a purpose. The Creator who created human beings with a system. The Creator who knows the nature of each human being and exactly how people have to live together in order to have the most peaceful and loving and caring and successful society. That's the only one whose rules make a difference. And if I don't have that, and if I don't have rules that are given to me, ve'ele ha'mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem, after my Har Sinai, when Hashem revealed himself at Har Sinai, and he taught the Yaseres HaDibros to the Klal Yisrael, which carried the essence of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, then he gets specific and tells Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the mishpatei haTorah, these are the laws bein odom lachaveiroi, that you have to present to Klal Yisrael in a way that's very clear. Asher tosim lefneihem kishulchan ha'aruch, that's set up that they can see it and understand it and relate to it and live by it, to create the proper atmosphere and the right and wrong and integrity and honesty and sensitivity and menschlichkeit in a society. You know, without a divine directive, we're in big trouble. I remember once at a seminar that we did in Los Angeles many years ago, an outreach seminar. It was a young man, probably in his early 20s, I think, was not from a religious background at all, was not religious, came to the seminar, and by the fourth day in the afternoon, the lunchtime, I asked him, I said, do you own a pair of tefillin? And he said, I don't know, which to me was worse than saying no. Like it was not relevant. He didn't know he owned a pair of tefillin. So, and then he gets up at the symposium. At the symposium, the participants speak and say how this seminar affected them. He gets up at the symposium and says as follows. I'm convinced that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. This seminar made it very clear to me. And therefore I thought, I'm going to start my new realization by keeping the big things in Judaism, whatever that is, well, the big things. Okay, fine. He says, but you know, then I thought to myself, in man's law, I keep big things and little things. Not only do I not do felonies, which are big crimes, I don't even do misdemeanors, little crimes. So Mimela, how could I be more careful and more religious in man's law than in God's law? So I decided I have to do the little things in Judaism as well. But, he said, in man's law, I reserve the right to cheat a little bit. You know, I go a little bit over the speed limit. I do a couple of things here, there. I fudge a little bit. You know, small stuff that nobody's going to know and not going to make much of a difference. He said, so maybe I have the right to cheat in Judaism and God's law too. But then he said, in man's law, let's say I'm driving at 95 miles an hour on the freeway in Los Angeles. Okay, that's a violation of the law. And I cheat, you know. But I notice out of my rear view window that there's a police car right over there, not far from me. All of a sudden, like a little old lady on a Sunday afternoon, I'm driving at 45 miles an hour. He says, when there's someone watching, I don't cheat. Well, the trick is in Judaism that there's always someone watching. And therefore, I can't even cheat. And that, and only that, is the system that can truly assure that human beings act in the way that's appropriate, right, honest, straight, sensitive, menschlich. Because not only do we have a directive which tells us how to live when there are conflicting values, who owes what to whom, whose rights are supreme here, who has the right to this and who has the right to that, and how, which rights are shared, and how do they share it, and how do they do it, what happens if there is a problem and there is a damage, and whom is responsible, how much is it responsible for, and every basic moral concept dealing with every situation that can evolve, that can arise in the world. People are amazed. Sometimes, when they look at the table of contents, at some of these tshuvas for it, and they see the intricate and sometimes modern inventions that exist with questions about new things, new concepts, rights that nobody realized ever would exist because we never had the situations, the inventions which dealt with these rights. But it's all there. Everything in Chesed Mishpot, in Torah, It's all there, all of human rights and all of conflict of rights and everything with a resolution. And besides that, with a divine guarantee and a divine supervision, there's someone watching all the time. And therefore, it doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay. Not like in our society, crime is only when you get caught. But crime doesn't pay because there's supervision all the time, 24/7, 365 and 120 years plus in your life. And this is what we are privileged with having. And I think that we sometimes take it for granted. Sometimes we think it's burdensome. Sometimes we wonder why is it relevant. Sometimes we study Bava Kama. We don't understand what we're learning is Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. We're learning values. We're internalizing values. Rabbi Saul Salanter said, why do we start teaching children with Mishnayos, with Bava Metzia, with Nezikin, with such things? He says, because at the earliest stages of life, we want to implant the values. Mine is yours, right from wrong, my rights, your rights, conflict, how do we resolve conflict? This is critical to human survival. And this is what our Torah gives us. So when we listen to the Pasuk, Ve'ela ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem, we should stop to think how fortunate we are that we have a life that guides us in what's right and what's wrong. If we live according to the directives of the Torah, we can have a society that can live as human beings rather than as animals. And we can have this uplifting sense of spirituality, of connection with Hashem. That I live by the directives of the Creator. I'm in constant contact with the Creator. I'm constantly remembering that the Creator is here to watch me, to teach me, to guide me, and to assure that I follow in the proper path. There's nothing as uplifting and there's nothing as meaningful as that. And there's no question that if our society would have any such concept, then we wouldn't be bragging about, well, less people were murdered this year. And we wouldn't have a court system which is so backed up with every type of robbery and thievery and cheating and damaging and violation of everyone's property rights and everyone's personal rights and everyone's existence. We have a different world out there, and we can have that world if we live according to the Mishpotim Asher Tosim Lifneihem.